come to us really prepared, okay? And yeah, we know that you are going to make mistakes. We know that you're going, that the product is not perfect in its stages. We know, by the way, it will take more time than what you believe it's going to take. I'll bet with you, there are a few cases that we invested, the guys came telling us about, hey, it will take X months, years, whatever. They were almost always late. We know it, okay? They always told us, hey, it's going to take X amount of money. They were wrong. We know you're going to be wrong there, but give us a plan that we know that it's going to be wrong. But if you don't give us a plan, you'll never have a real plan. And if you never have a real plan, you'll never succeed.
So hi, everyone. We are very excited towards today's episode. We have here Dom Moran. I think he probably doesn't need much introduction to many. He's the managing partner of Grove Ventures, and he's one of the most prominent Israeli high-tech leaders in the world. He's an investor, inventor, and entrepreneur who is best known for the inventor of the USB flash drive. And he's very passionate about investments in or the whole growing field of biotech. And I think that's the main interest for us. Welcome. We're very happy to have you here.
Thanks a lot. My pleasure. Let me correct you one more last time, I hope.
Absolutely.
I'm highly interested in investments in, but I won't say it's, I won't say biotech. I would say science. We do, my fund, Grove Ventures, invest in early stage deep tech. What is deep tech? It's a good question. By the way, we complicate it. We start to say deep future because we don't want to limit ourselves too much, or some of my partners don't want to limit us too much. But deep tech in general, it's a semiconductor, cloud, infrastructure, core AI, and science. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I talk about science because when I talk about science, science could be quantum computers, could be materials, could be energy, could be those kind of things that we still don't know about them because, hey, no one came with this, hey, I have amazing thing to tell you about. And yeah, they will come. It will happen. Yeah, the world is changing constantly, improving. Yeah, and yeah, what makes me so passionate about what I'm doing is I'm waiting for those inventions, unique stuff to come, and this is where I want to be. So I would say science, and not specifically biotech. Biotech is part of science.
Yeah,
but it's much broader.
So how are you going to identify that they're coming, those special jumps?
Well, you know, it's a very simple job. We make a lot of noise. We try to make a lot of noise. And we talk in podcasts like this one. And say, actually, the message is very clear. Guys, if you have something really amazing, science, deep tech, come to us. And people are coming. It's very simple.
So let's go back to the roots. What made you interested in science?
I'll tell you things which I don't share usually. Okay,
that's the best opening to a podcast interview.
Okay, I'll try to make it simple. By the way, I'm under the impression of something that I just saw before I came to this meeting. It's a WhatsApp message of somebody which I really appreciate a lot. And she writes, it's a lady, she writes, I began to read your new book, Yahadut. And it's amazing. And she wrote amazing with seven M's. seven G's. And then, can you see, just a second. No. Anyway, so the story is that I wrote a book about entrepreneurship. It's 100 doors. And in this book, I talk about how the world of entrepreneurship is very similar to a situation where you are locked practically in a room or hall where there are 100 doors, and every door has 1% of probability to be opened independently of the others. And the question which I ask in the book, and I ask this question over 1,000 people till today, I ask, what's your chances if you try to go to all these doors that you will be able to open, at least one door. You need one door to get out of this prison or hall. And I'll help you with the solution because you don't have time to think about it now. So I say, hey, it's more than 1%, because if you had the access to only one door, then your chance would be 1%. Every door has 1% that can be opened. Some people say, oh, it's 100% because you have 100 doors, so one of them has to be opened. No. It's 1% per door independently of the others. There is a chance that the first door is locked, second door locked, third door locked. So 99 is locked, door number 100 is locked. All of them are locked. It is possibility. So it's not 100%. It's somewhere between 1 to 100. What's the number? By the way, it's amazing to see how people answer this question. It's amazing to see some people which don't think at all. Like they say, hey, I have no idea, 50%. Or you see, by the way, people who are more at the finance, accounting, more conservative, and they say, yeah, but it's only 1%. You give me a lot of doors, it's going to be a very low number. You see salespeople or business development or entrepreneurs that say, there are so many opportunities. It must be close to 100%. If it's not, so nearby the 100%. By the way, the real answer is 63.4%. But this is my book, 100 Doors, and I take it over. Say the way to entrepreneurship is that you don't have to open only one door. This is simple, 63.4%. You have to open many, many doors. And the question is, how many doors will you succeed until you reach success? Anyway, so that's my first book. The second book is a book about Yadut, and I Yadut in English is Yadut, the letter Hey, is Judaism. But my book is about Yadut with the letter Ein. And there is no translation to that. There is no such a word in Hebrew, and there is no such a word in English. But if I'll try to look for the word which is most close to what I want to say there, it's maybe targetism. Now, what is targetism? You know, it's target. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Think about a life which are directed by a target, that there is a target. And you live your life under the understanding that, hey, that's your target. This is like the North Star. It's a star. You have to walk this direction to the north, yeah? And you see the light, the star is there. Maybe in the way north, you will get into walls and you get into a situation that you don't see it for some time because there is some cloud or whatever. But you should always look to find your North Star and go after. So my book talks about targetism. What's your target? Why are we doing what we are doing? And, you know, many people do what they do without thinking. And it's okay as well. They say, I was born, I'm here, I'll go away. Some people say money. Some people don't say, but it's clearly. Ego is a very, very big motivation, unfortunately. Some people are looking for power. If you look at politicians, they look for power. They are sick. Some of them are sick in the search for power. And I think that I did define a target, which I think that we can argue. It's a whole book about that. But my target is to, I do believe that there is a target. If there is no target, all this discussion, everything we do, basic, is totally meaningless. So there must be something, because even if the chance of this something is very, very, very small, like one divided by Google to the power of Google, the number that you can think how small it is still endless compared to zero, to the zero, which is nothing, no reason.
Right.
So I say, hey, once we compare to the zero, hey, my value, even if I believe in a slight belief, doesn't matter, still, that's the target. Because it's endless size, the belief of that compared to the zero. So, and then the question, what's the target? What could it be? So by the way, there are people who had, their life are very simple. religious people say, we are here because there is a God. God sent me here. I have to pray. I have to. And by the way, that's okay. I do it, accept it. Yeah. That the guys who just believe and act according to the belief and don't try to enforce their belief on others and stuff like that. But what happens to the guys who don't believe that there is somewhere there in the sky, you know, with a big bear, white bear, they say, hey guys, pray for me 3 times a day. Hey guys, I'll be very rude to anybody who doesn't believe to me. There should be, what's this something? And my something is, hey, I think that we are here to make this world a bit better. And finally, we are building something where we are part of a, which began many, 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 many years before us, our parents, 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 and we are part of something which is built and will continue to build after us. But each one of us contributes something to building of something which we see the trend. It's growing, progressing, being better, larger. And that's my job. That's our job, to be right there. And science is a very important part of that.
I'm very happy that you mentioned that, because again, when you talk about your book and about having a North Star and doing this, accepting that you, even with very incremental contribution, it's still a contribution, and you drive the entire process forward. You're basically describing the life of a training scientist or a scientist in general. You go into your niche. Every scientist, and again, I've read a bit of the 100 Doors as well. Every scientist, is, as you mentioned, is like, you have your entrepreneurship skills within, but you need to let it out. You need to release it. You need to embrace it. So every scientist is a kind of entrepreneur, even in its beginning of a PhD. You define someone that's never been done before. You design the way to prove that it is a thing and it is of value. You do your market research, basically. And you execute on it. And you execute on it for like 4 and 5 years. But, and this is where I'm puzzled, and this is where I was at the end of my PhD, even with a great mentor. Okay, I felt, first of all, alone. I felt burned out, and I had no tools to take those scientific entrepreneurial skills to the next phase. So I've felt that I've done good science. I published. I got peer reviewed and reaffirm that it is good, but then what are the entrepreneurial skills that I've taken from this? Not much. And this is when first time I've heard you talk, and I said, oh my God, why can we not connect to this? Where do we lose this along our scientific training along the way? So I'd be happy to hear your views on scientists just before they're like the big entrepreneur success.
So first of all, yeah, I think that scientists, engineers, programmers, physicians, biotech people, these are the guys who are at the front of the battle of making this world better. But everybody does his contributions, not only scientists or engineers. It's even the lady who cleans this office, hey, without her, this office won't live well and won't do whatever it's supposed to do. It's the person who smiles in the street, the teacher, of course, yeah. So it's everybody provides his contribution. Clearly, I do believe that scientists, engineers are the front of this battle to make this world better. Clearly, the fact that you learned science or do a great engineering or you're a wonderful programmer doesn't guarantee success. And if you just work on something saying, hey, I have a great idea, without the entrepreneurial spirit and without the organization, which is called companies, yeah, with CEO, VPs, whatever, without money required to do practically, this is the gas for the car. So a great car without gas doesn't want to move anywhere. Without all of it, you will waste a lot of the power that you were given on nothing. Maybe you're feeling related to the fact that you had maybe great ideas, but you didn't know how to translate these ideas and the knowledge and know-how into a reality of companies, money generation, distribution, whatever is required to create a success and to make this world a bit better. And that's a very, very good point. How do you combine the entrepreneurship into science? I do believe that the next schools, I do believe that schools in general, universities in particular, have to change significantly. And one of the things which is required when you learn science is to learn how to translate science into reality and not stay at the laboratories, do interesting trials, write amazing papers, and feel very satisfied from the fact that your paper was read by XYZ amount of other researchers, which is nice, but not enough. So studies has to be there to actually combine this basic knowledge, basic capabilities into the total knowledge that you are getting from university. This is not done by a speaker that stands in front of a class and give his speech for an hour and then goes home, and everybody goes there and maybe have to write a paper. It's done by interaction among the students and test cases and hands-on specific issues, so people can exchange it. Directions, information. It's schools, universities, studies become science as well, are going to be, in my view, very, very different in the future.
I think for many years, entrepreneurship for scientists was not a real option. It was too expensive. It took too long. You really needed those really big institutions in order to take scientific discoveries forward, and the world has changed, at least definitely in biology. All the tools that used to take years to, you know, gene editing used to take years, and you couldn't even target human cells, and now you can do this within a few weeks or months in a really reliable way. So I think now that the entrepreneurship is a valid option for scientists, definitely in biology, I hope at least that, you know, all of those facilities around it, universities, and I lead a Catalyst program, but there are all kinds of infrastructure will start to develop to better support scientist entrepreneurship. Because I think that's our way of making the world better, right? Because you, for years, you've been studying something that you know that has relevance to the world, right? You've got grants, you're not doing research in vacuum. So I hope with time, you'll also gain those tools in order to bring those to reality and to really, you know, if each one of us take something from our science to the world, we're already in a much, much better place.
Yeah. By the way, before we began the real conversation, we spoke about the book, which I mentioned, The Buddy, a Guide for Users. I think that's a full name. There's another book which I just finished with this. I'm reading. I like to read. I like to get to understand stuff, and I enjoy very much reading. There's another good book that I read last Saturday. It's in Hebrew, it's Havlachot. In English, it's Munshutz. Munshutz.
Munshutz.
And he discovered that the guy who wrote it, and I'm very weak remembering names, so forgive me, but the guy who wrote it was talking about inventions at several areas of people who tried and failed and tried and failed. And there's a statement there that if we talk about biotech, the statement says that there is no real medicine invented that didn't go through the process of dying three times. Even the most greatest medicine existing today went through the stage and somebody carries the idea and everybody says, hey, it's nonsense. And then he continued, got some money, and then he developed something. And then people say, no, totally wrong. And he failed in one test, maybe passed, you know, this test, but he failed. And everybody said, hey, waste of money. Who's the stupid who gave him the money? And he killed it once again, but he continued. There are great stories about several of those stuff. Yeah, first of all, we have to understand that, yeah, it takes time to do real stuff. biotech is very, very clear, but any other inventions, the invention of radar, which is described as another invention which came out at the World War II, and there are the guys who said, hey, who is going to use this nonsense? It's full of shit. Hey, this full of shit saved England. We go through the process of, we talk about stuff which is out of the frame, and there will be always the people who say, who needs it? Oh, too difficult. Or somebody, we have this. Why do we have to have this? This, you know, and it's a struggle. But, you know, when we talk about with entrepreneurs, we look at three things. We look at the IQ. IQ is not the most important. It is still important. Don't think that IQ, don't believe the guys telling you, hey, IQ is not important. Come on, we don't invest in stupid. So IQ is important, not the most important. More important is, of course, EQ. Mm-hmm. If you are very smart, but you don't have the ability to talk with people, to understand people, understand customers, get investors. Investors need to become in love in the entrepreneur, or at least understand what he wants, what he needs, have dialogue with him. This is very crucial. Then comes something else, which many people don't understand the importance of it, and this is AQ. AQ is adversity quotient. And the adversity is how this entrepreneur will act at situations where he is in trouble, where things doesn't work, where there are big disappointments. Guys, entrepreneurship is a way that you go from one failure to another, from one...
This is scientist.
Yeah, but, you know, it's failure could be, you know, he went to raise money and you know, all excited, you know, it tells the guy, hey, I know the brother of his sister-in-law, and he goes full excited, and he worked 3 days on an amazing presentation, and he goes to the other VC or whatever, and he tells him, after the fact, listen, this is not interesting. Maybe come to us before you go IPO. I heard it in my life. I heard a VC telling me when I came to raise money at the early stage, say, you know, when you go to raise money, when you go to an IPO, come to me before you go to IPO. I said, thank you very much. When I go to have an IPO, you are the last person I'm going to meet. Yeah. But it's many disappointments which are coming. And every disappointment is like a slap at your face. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you get partners and you see that, hey, these are the most amazing guys in the world. And you find that, hey, this, maybe they are amazing, but they're not suitable to what you want to do or or they cannot actually exist and survive this very difficult way. So AQ is important. And when you talk about the long way and the tough way for scientists to bring something to the world, yeah, it is a very, very difficult long way, but it's part of it and you can't ignore it. One thing I can tell you, when we went to raise money the first time as Go Ventures, I took a decision that we want to do deep tech, deep technology, because my feeling was that these days, this is 7 years ago, that there's no truly good VCs in Israel that were doing deep tech. And when you went to VCs this day, 7 years ago, for example, semiconductor, they say semiconductor is too complicated, too expensive, too many years. I say, hey, but you know, there are such great semiconductor companies came out of Israel. You find that great companies in Israel, great semiconductor, Mobileye, as an example of Mobileye didn't raise money from VCs. M-Systems didn't raise money from VCs. There is a long list. Why? So I said, this is where I want to focus in those, you know, things that others will do. We don't invest in cyber. Do you know why?
Right.
Because everybody else is investing in cyber. And clearly there are funds, there are people that understand cyber so much better than me. So if somebody comes to me with a cyber project, there are two possibilities. One, this guy is idiot. He doesn't look, he didn't check who is the right investors that understand cyber, that can help him, support him, connect him, know what's good, what's bad. That's one possibility. The other possibility, he went to all these guys and all of them rejected him. So should I invest in him that I don't understand anything in this area? No. So no cyber, no applications. We do invest in deep tech. Now, when I went to raise money, so here's the story. People said, hey, but you know, it's very nice. We fully appreciate your concept. And hey, it's very... And I said, but you know, but deep tech takes a lot of time. Software, you can build a company. And if you have the right idea, you can, after 3 years, to get value of billions of dollars. There are such examples in Israel. Wiz, if you look at them, amazing phenomena. Guys, the second month, he raised, I don't remember, $60 million.
Yeah.
After 8 months, he was already $25 million revenues. And after 2 years, he was already at the value of billions. Well, it can be done in software. It cannot be done in a semiconductor. It cannot be done in science.
Yeah.
And some investors said, hey, but you're not going to give us any return in there. I said, yeah, guys, if you want to invest in us, you have to understand, this is a long-term investment. This is going to take a long time until you see money. If you are looking for something where you put the money, you get it back in 3 years, 2-3 years, this is not us. Don't invest in us. I said to any of our investors, any of them, each one of them that put his money in the fund, you have to understand, it's a long-term investment. It will take time until you will be able to see money back. By the way, this is about 5.5 years from the time we begin to raise money for Grove One, our first fund. We already began to return money, only now, 5.5 years, as I say. That's okay. I promise. That's what I promised. But we do have amazing IRR because, yeah, so companies were not acquired after a short time or they didn't go to IPO, but they constantly increased their value and increased the value. I see that maybe except one case, there was no down round in our companies. So they are growing slowly, but they're growing very, very nicely. And we do have companies now at the values which are nearby the $1 billion. That's okay. So don't be concerned of the time. Yeah, long time, but okay, so what?
So deep tech is not only long time, it's also much riskier than some of the other things. So
I don't think so. I think that it's the opposite. I think that it's, first, you have to invest in deep tech. You really have to understand. If you don't understand, and sometimes someone comes to you, it means if you are not engineers, never really were in a company that does this stuff, and say, I want to develop a chip which will connect two routers at the performance of 1 gigabit per second or 10 gigabit per second. And it's going to serve special HPCs which are dedicated to big data. If you really don't understand what it does, it's very easy to come with big terms, with hip hop, and he can talk about markets of trillions of dollars or whatever. How can you really judge? If you do understand what these guys are willing to do, and you can understand the difficulties existing in the technology, in going to the fabs, in asking fabs to do things, this stuff or another stuff, which some of them will be done, some of them will never be done, by fab, knowing who are the potential partners, how to do stuff, what's the implications, is it a real problem, or maybe it can be solved in other means which are cheaper. Clearly, you can lower significantly the risk. So I do believe that, hey, risk, we invested till today in 30 companies, and I'm talking of a period of time of overall, it's about 5-6 years. And we do have, out of 30 companies, we have only 4 companies that failed out of 30. So there is, of course, risk. It's not zero risk. By the way, do I believe that half of the companies will, I do believe that there is a chance that half of the companies will stay alive. It's going to be, this is the reality, that half of our companies will stay alive until exit, IPO, whatever. That's a huge achievement for the fund.
And how many companies did you see? How many ideas did you see in the last 5 years? I would just ballpark thousands, right?
it's very brutal, and I'll give you the numbers. We do have the statistics, of course, the accurate statistics. We do get to see about 1,500 opportunities. Now, this is a bit misleading number because many of them are, we get email from somebody said, hey, Dov Moran, I have a great idea. I'll share with you the idea of 50-50 and let's build a company together. We don't build companies, unfortunately. We can't. It's not our, it's not what the fund is supposed to do. So thank you very much. But find a team, establish a company, come to talk with us with a real presentation, with market survey, with whatever is required. We get emails from other countries. And yeah, there are very smart people anywhere in the world. Clearly in Czech Republic and in Germany and London and in the States. But the situation is that we invest only in Israeli startups. Not because we think that all the smartness is here, actually the opposite, but because we want to work with these companies. We want to visit them. We want to see them. We want to talk to them twice a week if required, maybe once every 2 weeks. We want to see them eye to eye. We want to visit. We want to talk with the new engineer that they hired or new VP marketing. We want to come to board meetings where we sit around the table and we don't fight, but we can look, you know, and we can't do it from far away. It doesn't work for us. So Israeli only. Now there are these guys that come to us maybe on late stage, not us. Finally, we get into about 300 companies that are suitable, that we actually meet. We have four partners, so we meet, and usually many of them, it's not only one partner, it could be two partners. If we go to invest, it's all the four partners. And then we invest out of the 300 in 6-7 companies, not more than that.
A year.
Yeah, I know it's brutal, but that's reality.
So you said that you in this process you waived all those 1,200 that are irrelevant to the core values of Gove, and then you're judging the technology now, and the team and everything.
Oh, that's a very important stuff because okay. It was a huge mistake in what you said. You said you begin to analyze the technology. No. We analyze, first of all, the people, the team. First of all, people first. You analyze, first of all, the people. Once you meet, you say, hey, it's in within you, our area. There are Israelis, there are deep tech, there are interesting. We meet the people. If the people don't pass, if they don't pass the criteria, we say, thank you, guys. It's an amazing idea, but doesn't suit us. And we always find a good excuse. It's never, hey, we don't like you. We don't invest in your company. Yeah. But it's people first. And then after that, you look at the product. How the product is it really something significant? Is that something that would change the world? Is that something that do something which many people will benefit, that it's significant, better, faster, cheaper, whatever, compared to other products existing in the market, you know, because products exist. And then comes the question of potential. What's the potential? Can it become a company that sells hundreds of millions of dollars, or it will be a nice company that will succeed? If they succeed, they will sell every year $30 million. They make profit of $5 million. By the way, it's amazing business. It's a nice business. You can do great with that, work all your life, continue to improve, whatever, but be a small company with a nice profit, yeah? All of our companies, all of them today, all of them are still in the position that they are dreaming about getting to $5 million profit. They're not yet profitable, each one of them. So becoming such a company is great, but it's not for VCs. Because a company that constantly will sell $30 million at a $5 million profit, the value probably will be 50. And if the market is very, very good, maybe $100 million. And we are not investing in companies in order to be a small portion of something that has... we're looking for companies that practically, they can return the whole fund. Mm-hmm. Once they are sold or acquired or go public, we can take a nice check of $100 million at least home. Yep. So it has to be something big.
So it's something I think that, again, as I'm going through this process as well, it's something that understanding what is the product or what is the market potential for my scientific idea at the end, and if it will be interesting to a VC, VCA, VCB, never mind. That's something that the academic training of a scientist lacks completely. And what comes out there at the end is that you have an idea, you took the decision to take it forward, to be very active. You formed a team. You think you have the EQ and AQ that needed, and it even if it passes through, and then you go to all the wrong VCs and you get slapped right and forth, and that just takes all the wind out of yourselves. And this is where the valley of death, right?
Phil, I'm going to give you. I believe I'm going. Maybe all this conversation till now was totally useless. No real value, no will. I'll give you a hint or two hints, actually. What's required when you are thinking about establishing a company? Yeah. What is, and of course, you look for the partners, you have an idea, and you see that the market is low, and so on. And I'll give you two hints, okay? What you have to do. There's a question which I ask all of our companies. I sometimes ask the guys who appear in front of us to do that as well, which for them it's very, very difficult to do, and because I stayed at the beginning. But when I talk with our companies at Grow, I say, I want you to complete this sentence. We are going to be the leaders in, you tell me. If you can't tell me, there's a problem. You're not good enough. I don't invest in anybody who is not a leader or is not going to be a leader or don't see himself as a potential leader. Number two, number three, five, we don't care about them. It's not because we are bad people. Because practically, these guys will not create a big success. And we want you to understand, first of all, where you are going to make a unique success in an area where you can define yourself as a leader. Now, it's okay if you narrow it. So don't say we are going to be number one in biotech. Yeah. You're not going to be number one in biotech. Yeah. But if you talk about a specific cancer, which is unfortunately popular enough, you're going to say we are the company who is going to lead the world in fighting whatever XYZ cancer, that's great. And yeah, this stuff, I want to support you. Let's check if this is a large enough market. Let's check that you really have the right ideas that would help your companies to truly fulfill this promise. Second thing, it's surprising to see these guys are so smart, so good. So they put so much effort into the invention and they still come with a presentation. It's too much data, lack of information, unclear the information about what they are doing.
Scientific anyway, presentation.
They always have great excuses. Yeah. For them, it's very, very clear what they present. Hey, I'm an idiot. I'm not a smart guy. I don't understand in almost anything I'm investing in. Yes, I do invest. Yeah, I understand. Clearly, at any investment I've done until now, any of them, the guy sitting in front of me, not in all, many majority of them, the guy sitting in front of me were smarter than me, knowledgeable more than me. By the way, in all of them, they were smarter than me. In many of them, they were more knowledgeable compared to me in the specific area. That's the way it should be. So if they understand, it's not good enough because they understand. I didn't understand. Make it clear enough. And by the way, if you can't explain to me, can you explain to the next investors at the later stage? You know, we are relatively... And we do understand technology in a way. The next investors, the late stage investors, guys, the next investors would understand mainly in unfortunately in finance, because that's going to be the most important stuff. You will need to raise $50 million, $150 million, the guys that invest these amounts of money, they are very, very good in understanding finance, bridge loans, convertibles, safe, options, how to go to this market. Where these guys, their understanding in technology is even lower than us. So if you come to them and your explanation of what you're doing is such a lousy one, you will not convince them. So find a way to explain to people like us what you're doing. And don't come with stories, which I do hear a lot, that we don't want to expose what we have. Hey, come on. We are not going to cheat you, take your technology, and establish companies to do it. And if this is your situation, then you have nothing. The meaning is that you are totally, you have things which are totally unprotected.
Yeah, and so this is where I think that like ventures like now that Lena is leading with the Catalyst program is exactly this median stage between taking all the science, the great science that you have done, and then forming it to a good to the right story that is understandable to not only the first author on the publication, and it also forms the correct. It answered those questions. I think that my partner in this company, Anadrave, has challenged me exactly as you mentioned. He said to me, "You're going to be number one in 2 years. You're going to be number one in what? In 5 years, you're going to be number one in what?" And we went for 2 weeks of me answering him poor answers, and he not giving me any guidelines and saying, Go home, try again, let's talk tomorrow, until we just refine it.
Perfect. Okay, so just to complete it, and there are issues which are very stupid, like people who come with a presentation and then they make mistakes, like they put double space, or they're missing comma, or they in part of this sentences there is a period, in some there isn't. And so it's inconsistency. And you may ask me, hey, Dov, why is it important? Are you really looking at the shirt? Clearly, you have to look at the content and not at the presentation. But you know, something which I learned in life, people who are inaccurate in the presentation will be inaccurate in the product, in the development, in the go-to-market, in the way they do their own business. And yeah, it says something about them. So guys, be perfect in your presentation. Make it perfect. Make your wife, spouse, boyfriend, whatever, go look at it, understand it, read it again. Let them say, hey, something is unclear here, or this sentence is too long, or whatever. Make it short sentences, clear, precise. That's very crucial. And then comes the last one, last hint, okay? So one thing which I do as well when I talk with entrepreneurs, I say I do have another question. And the question is, describe me. You cast your first customer. Who is the first guy that is going to write you a check? These guys that will accept the product without writing you a check, I know plenty. That's very simple. But I want to understand, who is the guy who is going to write you a check? So in the check that he's going to write you, what appears in the, you know, above the normal checks, of course, but in what appears at the right top corner of this small piece of paper. And you find that in many cases, they don't know. And you say, yeah, it could be this, but it could be this as well. It's a very, very bad answer. We want to understand the go-to-market. We want to understand how do you plan to sell it, because having amazing product doesn't really sell. I know it's very disappointing. Having amazing program, revolution, wonderful, fantastic, only that by itself, it doesn't sell. You have to find a way to sell it, whom you're going to sell it, are they ready to pay, are they willing to pay? Is that a real need? And we want to see, it's crucial to us to see a go-to-market. Now, I'll help you with a question. So, Ofer, you can ask me now, hey, Dov, it sounds to me totally very stupid because, you know, hey, we know that every company makes changes. They see that they are developing this product, finally they'll develop this. They see that they're going to take this market, but finally, it happened to me many times, they went to do this product, this market. So why is it really important? If it's good guys, and if the direction is good, and the market in general is big, let them move on and let them develop whatever they begin to develop, knowing that they are smart enough to understand at the right time that this is the right product and that this direction is wrong, so they have to go this way. You know, it's a method of how do you measure stuff. And if these guys cannot talk smartly about the go-to-market today in a way that would convince me, they would not be smart enough to understand that they are wrong in their direction. They will not be smart enough to understand when to do the pivot. They maybe do the pivot when it's not required. Consistency is important. Or they will do the go-to market, but if they don't understand, they'll again choose another mistake. It's not that you are doing a mistake and that once you understand it's a mistake, you will go to the right direction. I saw companies that the guys did a mistake, so they changed the go-to-market and they understood, hey, this is wrong as well. So they changed the market once again or changed the direction once again and did another mistake. And you cannot overcome a company after doing too many of those mistakes. So in general, what I want to say is come to us really prepared, okay? And yeah, we know that you are going to make mistakes. We know that you're going, that the product is not perfect in its stages. We know, by the way, it will take more time than what you believe it's going to take. I'll bet with you, there are a few cases that we invested, the guys came telling us about, hey, it will take X months, years, whatever. They were almost always late. That, we know it, okay? They always told us, hey, it's going to take X amount of money. They were wrong. We know you're going to be wrong there, but give us a plan that we know that it's going to be wrong, but if you don't give us a plan, you'll never have a real plan. And if you never have a real plan, you'll never succeed. Success is a result of a lot of planning, execution. Yeah, there is something there that is called invention, product, uniqueness, but it's a lot of things that relate to execution, planning, hard work.
I completely agree. It's something we advocate here constantly in entrepreneurship, in even more basic elements in life, in career planning. You have a plan, you have something to work against and see if you're in line, if what you need to correct or you need to rethink it if it doesn't meet your values. Well, Dov, that conversation is...
Maybe I'll complete it with one sentence. Yeah. We talk about entrepreneurship, about startup and about scientists and biotech and semiconductors. Guys, I think that everything I said here or you said as well, relates as well to life, just to life. What do we do in our life? Do we plan? Are we ready to work hard? Do we have a target or we don't? And I think that, I think that that's a good conclusion to our discussion. So thank you very, very much. I enjoyed very much. With you too.
Yeah. Thank you, Dov. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, and insights. Great.